John chapter 15, verse 10. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, for these very words of Christ, how precious they are. Lord, it would have been an awesome thing to have been there to watch him and to hear him speak and teach these things. But thank you, Lord, for perfectly preserving them for us so that we have access to the very words of Christ. Thank you for guarding so carefully your Scriptures. And Lord, that we can now stand behind the pulpit with full assurance that we preach the very words of God. I would ask, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to them. I pray that you'd tenderize our hearts. Lord, I pray that this, Lord, would go beyond just being a sermon, but for many, many even that are saved, it would be an introduction to a new and higher and more noble relationship with Jesus Christ. Please help me as I preach, Lord. Strengthen my voice and sharpen my mind. I pray that you would help, Lord, these that are here today. There's many that have gone through, Lord, a very difficult week. Others, a very busy week. It's very easy for us, if we're not careful, to allow Satan to distract us, to allow ourselves to just give in to the weakness of the flesh sometimes because, Lord, we are somewhat frail. And Lord, I ask God that you'd help us to ask you to strengthen us and to give us the discipline we need to get what you have for us today. Thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord. I want to thank you that this church is here. I want to thank you for all those in the past, Lord, many of them in heaven, that's made it possible for us to enjoy the things we have. I pray, Lord, that you would please, Lord, help us not to miss this moment and this time and what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to remind you again this morning that, and I do this from time to time, that while we are in this service, this is not the only church service that's going on. We have, of course, our children's church. We also have our junior church that goes on. We also have ladies that sign up and rotate in on a regular basis, care for our little ones in the nursery. Let me say this, and I preached this last Sunday. Boy, I'm sold on children's ministries. I just am. I think part of that stems from the fact that it was in children's ministries when we first started attending church, my parents started taking us to church. It was really in the children's ministries that I was able to learn and understand and come to the point where I could comprehend the gospel of Jesus Christ. My parents started taking us to church when I was 5 years of age. Up to that point, we hadn't regularly or even sporadically attended church anywhere. 5 years of age, I walk in and all of this is new. What a great age to come to church. I recognize some new kids today just coming in off the bus, kids I had never seen before. I said, thank God. Thank God. I wonder if they've been in church any time in their life. Maybe they have. Maybe they just moved to the area. But if not, they could have been just like a little Jerry Ross that walked in for the first time. Maybe they're sitting in one of our children's services this morning hearing the Bible taught at a child's level for the first time in their life. Let me say this. I think that those who work in the children's ministries, I'm talking about all of them, whether it's bus ministry, whether it's children's church, whether it's Sunday school teachers, junior church, master's clubs, and I'm probably missing some other things, I think they're champions. I think they're heroes. I really do. I was thinking back when I began to attend church and what an impact Mrs. Evans had on my life, the pastor's wife. We were saved at the Rock Run Baptist Church north of Brazil, Indiana. How many of you senior saints were with me on the trip we took up there? And I always try to tell people where this church is, and I'm not sure anybody believes how hard it is to get to or what you have to drive through to get to it. But those senior saints, I think the reason we don't have a whole lot, four or five had a heart attack when I took them through that tunnel and decided I was going to take a bus through a tunnel that I think wasn't much bigger than the size of the bus. And literally a creek runs down and doesn't have any place to go. So there's this opening, and it runs through the opening of the road where you go underneath the railroad trestle, and then you comes out the other side, and the creek goes on down the other side. And that's how you go to the Rock Run Baptist Church, how we went there, unless we had a rain and the creek was up, and then we had to go the long way around. But what a wonderful thing. Little country churches preaching the gospel. You know, not a ton of people, but preaching the gospel. I mean this, folks. Listen to me. I'm all for the big ministries, and I'm thankful for them, but I'm going to tell you, what's holding this country together is small churches by the thousands, scattered in small communities with faithful men of God, small congregations, but they are the grassroots effort out there, I think, on the front lines that's holding back the judgment of God and reaching people. I had a college president tell me this just, maybe 2 months ago. He said this, and I thought, well, we need to say that out loud. He said, if everybody that attended our Bible college got up and walked out, I mean, they all got up in chapel. We had them all there, and they got up and walked out and left our college that came from a church of 150 or less. He said over 80% of our students would get up and walk out the door. You know, sometimes we don't realize, folks, I'm not against big ministries, but sometimes we need to be thankful for the guys that are just out there on the front line, winning families, discipling people. Maybe a guy asked me 2 weeks ago, he said something about, you know, I don't have a very big youth group. How do I get it to where I have a great youth group? And I had to just stop him and say, listen, I don't like your question. You know, too many times we think great is big. You can have a small youth group and have a great youth group. And you know what? You can have a small church and have a great church. And I was thinking about that God used a small country church to see to it that we got to hear the gospel. And that faithful pastor's wife. And I've told you many stories over the years about different things that I think that God put her in my life for as a child to teach me. When I go to junior churches, I preach a message entitled Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Junior Church. And I'm not going to preach that this morning, but I'm not sure that that's not true. The basics of the Christian life I was handed in children's ministries. And yes, we've had those things added and built upon, but that's where I learned the basics at. And let me say this. One of the things that Mrs. Evans so impressed upon my mind and in my life, I can still remember when she would bring us back into the back during, I think, the Wednesday evening service. Is that when she would take us back there? And they would have an adult Bible study, and she'd take the children back. And she always put the chairs in a semicircle, and we'd be sitting in a semicircle, and she would teach us the Bible. Some of you that use the little picture stories that we use here in some of our ministries, we even have used those to train our girls in the Bible class in our Christian school, training them to work with children. But she would use a lot of those picture stories and tell the stories and show the pictures. But one of the things she did one night was really kind of unique. She walked in and she said, before we get started, I would like to ask every one of you a question. I want you to think a few minutes before you give me an answer. But I'd like to know who your best friend is in all of the world. And then she finally said, I'm going to give you a minute or two, think about it. And everybody's looking around the room at each other, and I'm trying to think who I had a fight with that week, and who was my friend and who wasn't my friend, which kid I was mad at that week, and which kid I was a friend with, and, you know. And so then she began over here, and she just one at a time went around and began to ask us. And every person there mentioned some name of somebody that they went to school with or played in the neighborhood with, but somebody, some acquaintance that they had. And she named them one at a time, got all the way around. When we got all the way to the end, all of a sudden, she got the most disappointed look on her face, distraught look on her face. I mean, Mrs. Evans had a stroke at one point, and her arm was kind of crippled and up against her like this, and she would use it to try to hold the pages while she was, and man, she got so distraught, looked so upset, and she began to almost wail. I feel horrible. I failed you, children. I failed you, children. And we're looking like, what do we do? She's going to have another stroke. We better get an adult back here. And I failed you, children. And she finally said, I can't believe that after I've had you in here, and I'm going to do a better job as a teacher, I promise. But I can't believe I've had you in here, some of you, as long as I have. And I ask all of you who your best friend is, and not one of you said Jesus. And man, I don't know why, but as a young kid, that stuck in my heart. I was introduced. Now get this, please get this. I'm so thankful that shortly after I was saved, as a child, I was introduced to the idea that Jesus was to be much more than my Savior, much more than my God. He was supposed to be my very best friend. My very best friend. There's some wonderful scriptures, some wonderful truths in the Word of God. We find most of them in the book of Proverbs that give us Bible principles concerning friendship. Let me encourage all of you young people. I mean this. You ought to study those things out. I've preached messages from time to time. Brother Reiser's taught this, I'm sure, in youth. But every once in a while, we need to take what the Bible says that a real friend is, and we need to take those principles and compare them to the people who we say are our friends and see if they stack up. Don't forget what I'm going to say, young people. Not everybody that claims to be your friend is a real friend. You'll have people that'll say, I want to be your friend, but they don't really want to be your friend. They want to take advantage of you. They want to lead you in a wrong direction. They want to hurt your testimony or hurt your life. They maybe want to drive a wedge between you and other good relationships in your life. I've said this over and over, and I'll say it again. Young people, listen to me. You get involved with a kid, I don't care if it's a buddy, I don't care if it's a friend, I don't care if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend situation. You get involved with somebody, and they begin to drive a wedge between you and your parents. Red flags ought to be going up, red flags ought to be going up, red flags ought to be going up. There's just some Bible principles that we ought to treat more preciously than we do. I wanted to go back to Proverbs after I read this. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that Jesus said in John chapter 15, hey, yes, I'm your Savior, but I want to be your friend. I could call you a servant and I can make you a servant. And you know what? He'd have every right to do that. And if that's all he ever offered us, we'd still be blessed. But he said, no, I want to go beyond that. I want to be your friend. I don't want to just be a friend. I want to be your very best friend, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me show you some Bible principles concerning friendship, and I want to use these to prove to you that Jesus Christ is your very best friend. Proverbs chapter number 17. Let's go back into the book of Proverbs, this wonderful book of wisdom. I love it. I live in it. I would encourage everybody to do that if you're saved. 31 chapters. If you just decide you're going to read a proverb every day, you could go through the month, 12 times a year, you could read through the book of Proverbs. You would be so blessed, so helped. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 gives us a friendship principle. Let's see if Jesus is truly our friend. Let's see what it says. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Here's a friendship principle. If somebody's truly your friend, they'll love you all the time. They'll love you all the time. Hey, guess what? Jesus Christ loves us all the time. All the time. I want to get something into your hearts, because I think sometimes Christians get confused about this. Well, Brother Jerry, I disappointed the Lord. Yes, you can disappoint the Lord. Brother Jerry, you know what? I think I failed the Lord. Yes, there's times I failed the Lord. You know what, Brother Jerry? I've disobeyed the Lord. Yes, sometimes we're disobedient to the Lord. And you know what? God may be a little disappointed in us, and God may be grieved in His heart with some of the things we do. But there is nothing you can do as a born-again Christian that'll ever, 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 ever cause God to stop loving you. Amen, mamas. Amen, daddies. Can you think, you say, oh, Brother Jerry, I hope my kids grow up and I hope they live for the Lord, and I want them to live good lives, and we all do. And you know what, kids, let me say this. When you make a mistake, it grieves your parents' heart. It disappoints your heart, parents' heart. And one of the reasons you ought to live for the Lord is just to bring a joy and a reward to your parents. I mean that. But let me say, hey, there's not a mama in here who truly loves their children would say, you know what, no matter what my children end up doing or being, there's no way I could ever stop loving them. You know why? Because you got a little bit of God love in you. That's why. There's not a daddy in here, honestly, a true-hearted daddy, to say, you know what, no matter what my kids grew up and ended up doing, I'm not saying I wouldn't be ashamed. I'm not saying I wouldn't be disappointed and grieved, but there's nothing they could do that would keep me from loving them. Hey, we have a Father that loves deeper than any mama. We have a Heavenly Father that loves deeper than any earthly father ever can. Let me just say to you, He loves you today. Well, Brother Jerry, I'm away from God. He loves you, but I'm disappointed. He loves, Brother Jerry, if you knew what I did this week. I'm telling you, God loves you. He loves you. He's not a fair-weathered friend. He doesn't say, I'll give you my love as long as you're perfect. You mess up one time, I'm not going to... No, God's not that kind of a God. Listen to me, folks. You know what's so exciting about this? Is that God knows everything about us. Everything about us. And yet He still loves us. I remember I had a conversation with a guy, one of the men in this church now in heaven, that I counted as a dear friend. And I don't know why, but God kind of just in a special way mended my heart with Brother Ron Allen while he was here on earth. And he counted me as a friend. I counted him as a true friend. And I'll just say that one time we were having this conversation, he said, Brother Jerry, he said, you're one of my best friends. And I said, Brother Ron, I feel the same way. And he said, Brother Jerry, sometimes I think if you knew everything that I've done in my life, maybe you wouldn't want to be my friend. And I said, Brother Ron, I don't think that that's true. But I'm going to tell you this. God knows everything that you've done in your life. And still He's willing to be your friend. Woo! Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Hey, some of you girls sitting out there, you know, teenage girls, they get melancholic sometimes. Sometimes they live melancholic all the time. No, they have their highs, they have their lows. Sometimes you get to feeling lonely. Hey, it's tough. 6th, 7th, 8th grade, it's tough. It honestly is. I'm having fun with them, but it's tough. Sometimes a girl will come home and she'll say, Daddy, I don't have a friend. You know, some people are, I know adults that are grieved in their heart and they'd really like to have just a real close friend. Hey, let me recommend somebody to you. Well, Brother Jerry, I've tried to be people's friends before and all they did is break my heart and disappoint. Let me recommend somebody to you. Why don't you decide that you're what are these? BFF? Is that what y'all text? Your BFF? All right. Hey, I'm hip. You got a hip preacher. Yeah. In fact, I'm not even sure if the word hip is hip, but they'll text and type and email BFF, best friends for. Let me tell you, your BFF ought to be Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? You're never going to find a better friend. Now, thank God for good friends. And God gives us some good friends while we're here on earth. But you know what? You'll never have a perfect one that's here on earth. But you can have a perfect one in Jesus Christ. And you know what? He knows everything about us. I'm not going to take the time, but we go over Matthew chapter 10. I mean, he knows the very number of the hairs on your head. He knows your address. He knows your social security number. He knows your phone number. Listen, He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you've said and everything that you've done from the time you were born till now. He knows the mistakes you've made. Listen, He still loves you. He still wants to save you if you're lost. And if you're saved, He still wants to have a friendship with you. Listen, a friend loveth at all times. And I'm glad to announce that there is a friend that doesn't just want to be with you when you're victorious. He's willing to stand with you even when you're defeated. There's a friend that doesn't say, I'll come alongside you when you're on the top side, but when you're in rock bottom, I don't want anything to know. Jesus said, I'll stand with you on the mountaintop and I'll stand with you in the valley. I'll celebrate with you, but I'll sorrow with you. I'll laugh with you, but I'll cry with you. Listen, I'm there when you're healthy and vibrant, but I'm also there when you're sick and frail. Are you getting this? Jesus Christ loves at all times. Yeah, I tell you what, that's a pretty good friend. Let's have you go to Proverbs chapter number 27. We're just going to rejoice in some friendship principles. Jesus Christ offers friendship to us. And you know what? He passes the test. If you say, Brother Jerry, is Jesus the kind of friend that can stand up against the Bible principles? He is the only one that passes them perfectly. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Notice this. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know what? One of the principles, young people, please listen to me again. One of the friendship principles that you ought to consider is this. A true friend makes you sharper. A true friend makes you better. Now, I want to have your hearts. All you girls up here, all you young men up here, listen to me. There's young men. Young men, listen to me. There's young men that when you're around them, you know what? They make you want to be better. They make you want to be more obedient to your parents. They make you want to reach and become a better person yourself. And there's also people in your life that when you get around them, they drag you down. They cause you to want to walk the way of the devil. They cause you to want to get an attitude towards your parents. I mean, next thing you know, when you're around them, you're saying things you wouldn't say if you were around a better friend. Those kind of people are not true friends. They are not true friends. They are not true friends. Brother Jerry, let me just ask you this. If you were a bus kid, I mean, if you were a kid, for whatever reason, mom and dad didn't come to church, but they let you come on a bus, and you know what? You came to a place like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you know what? You lived in a neighborhood where there's not a lot of Christians, and you had a lot of bad influences. I mean, come on, Brother Jerry, what would you do? I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd lock in so hard and so tight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is where I would meet my friends, make my friends, build my relationships. You know why? Because when you get around Christians, the right kind of Christians, they're going to want to lift you up. You get around the world's crowd, they're going to want to drag you down. I'm going to tell you something. If I was a bus kid, I'm just going to say this. Boy, it needs to be said. If I was a bus kid, I'd begin now, and I wouldn't quit till August 15th, the first day of school, Blessed Hope Baptist School. And I would get on my knees every night and I'd beg my mama and beg my daddy, let me go to a Christian school. You know why? So you can be around the positive influence, the kind of influence that's going to make you sharper and better for the Lord. That's what I'd do. If you're asking me, I'm telling you what I'd do. That's what I would do. I'd do everything I can to get me in a situation where I was around adults and I was around teenagers and I was around other people that challenged me to be my very best for the Lord. Are you listening to me? A friend makes you sharper. He makes you better. There are people who I like to spend time with. There's people that when I have an opportunity to spend time with them, I'm always challenged. I always want to be better. I always want to be sharper. I always learn something. I always walk away with that interaction with a renewed heart's desire to live for the Lord. You know what? You ought to identify who those people are in your life and you ought to be around them. Can I say this? I thank God that I married, outside of Jesus Christ, I married my very best friend in all the world. And I mean, she passes the principle. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. If I was a wife, you know what I'd decide? I'd decide that I was going to be the kind of a virtuous Christian woman that every single day my husband would be blessed and he would be challenged just by my Christian life to be the best he could be for the Lord. If I was a husband, I'd say to myself, you know what? My wife is deserving of the best Christian husband she could have. You know, it shouldn't be a case where a wife is trying to live for the Lord and then she goes home and there's a lost husband or a carnal husband that wants to sit there and criticize and undermine and destroy everything that she learns and every effort she makes to try to grow in the Lord. That's not right. Hey, husband, be a true friend to your wife. Wife, be a true friend to your husband. I got to spend a little bit of time last week with some men that just challenged me. Jerry McDonald, and I'm going to bring him here, and you need to meet him. You need to meet Jerry McDonald. Calvary Christian Homes out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, outside of Tulsa, Eufaula, Oklahoma. I mean, just an amazing man. Probably the man that I've met that reminds me the most of Lester Roloff than anybody else in the world. And he's doing what Lester Roloff did. He's doing what Lester Roloff did as far as having a boys' home and all of those things. He's got also what he calls the City of Refuge, and that is a home for men that have shipwrecked their lives and destroyed their families, and they need a place to go and just get back on their feet. I mean, just an amazing, are you looking up here? Just an amazing ministry. And I always enjoy watching y'all that just can't not be distracted when something happens, you know. One of these days, I'm going to pray you get the discipline. Just keep your eyes on the preacher and your focus here, even though somebody walks in. God bless you. Amen. But a true, you know what? I spend time with that guy, and you know what? I want to go do something bigger for God. I spend time with that guy, and you know what? I want to love people like I never loved people before. I spend time with that guy, and you know what? I love this book more than I love. Hey, find those kind of friends. Find those kind of friends. Ladies, I could help you. I could help you if you'd let me. There's some phone numbers on your cell phone you need to delete. There's some calls coming into your cell phone you just need to not answer. There's some people you can be 5 minutes with in conversation. You know what? Every ounce of spirituality has been sapped out of you in 5 minutes. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, but you don't mind them hurting Christ? You don't mind them hurting Christ? You don't mind them destroying your Christian life? They don't mind. You don't mind them knocking the spiritual props out of you and delighting to do so on a daily basis? Hogwash, hogwash, hogwash. No friendship's more important than my friendship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean this. I can help you. I can help you. I can help you. Now listen to me, folks. You better be able to identify a true friend from a fake. And one of them is this. A friend makes you sharper. He makes you better. I was mentioning this to our young adults this morning. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. When I went to Bible college, are you listening to me? When I went to Bible college, I decided that I was not going to let circumstances choose my friends. I wasn't going to say, well, I'm in this room with these roommates, so these must be who my best friends are going to be. I looked ahead. I looked to upperclassmen. I looked at guys that had their act together. I had looked for guys that had a heart for God. I looked for guys that were strong in areas where I was weak. And I said, these are the men that I'm going to be with. These are the men that I'm going to hang with. These are the men that I'm going to learn from. And I, on purpose, made friendships that sharpened me and not dulled me. Listen, don't you want to be your best for Christ? I want to be my best for Jesus Christ. Now, let's get back to Jesus. How about him? Does he pass this test? Oh, my goodness sakes. Every minute that you spend with Jesus Christ will sharpen you. Yep. Let me see if I can help you. And look right up here, boy. I'm going to give you something. This is a little bit meaty. Okay? This is a little bit advanced. But it needs to be preached, and you need to advance in this area of your life. There is a difference between having morning devotions and walking with God. There is a huge difference between having morning devotions and walking with God. Are you for morning devotions? Well, if you're talking about getting up and reading your Bible, starting the day with the Word of God, if you're talking about starting the day with a time of prayer, are you kidding? I'm absolutely for it. But too many times what we do is we say, all right, I'm going to have my devotions. So we get up and we spend a little time with God. And we read the Bible and we listen to what He has to say to us. Then we pray and we say some things to Him. But then we walk away from that encounter, and that is it. We've gone to a spot in our mind, met with God. We walk away. We leave God there. And you know what? That's not what we're taught through the Scriptures. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Are you listening to me? I believe that morning devotions is just the opening conversation between you and God that ought to last an entire day. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. You know what? I like spending time with my best friend. I want him to come with me. Listen, I raised 3 girls, goodness sakes alive. If you've got kids, especially kids that are in junior high, you got kids you got girls of any age, they're still in your home. You know what they're begging you for half the time? They want to have somebody come over and stay, or they want to go to somebody's house. I mean, man, you wanted them to squeal with delight, say, all right, you can bring 3 friends over. You know, and you know, I don't mind slumber parties. I don't have a personal conviction, close, but I don't have a personal conviction against them. I just don't like the fact that I know I'm not going to get any sleep that night, you know, with girls in the house squealing and carrying on and doing all kinds of weird things. And Tabitha's got some real weird friends. Is Tabitha in here? She's not in. Well, good, I can talk about her. She has some of the weirdest friends. And it seems like when I do go to bed and go to sleep and she's got somebody over, sometime during the night, they'll try to do something to play a prank on me so that when I wake up, something bad happens to me. So when she has friends over, I just get dressed, crawl out the window, go to the Jeep, and I leave, you know. And that way I don't even have to walk in any other part of the house. You know. Hey, you know what? I don't have to. Listen, girls are having a slumber party. One of my daughters have friends over. I don't have to go up there and knock on the door. They come to the door, yes, and say, now listen, I don't want you guys going straight to sleep. Are you listening to me? I do not want you falling straight asleep. I want you to stay up, and I want you to talk some. Do you understand? Oh, Dad, no, listen to me. You're not to go straight asleep. You're to stay up. You're to talk, and you're to laugh, and you're to enjoy each other, and you're to giggle, and you're going to tell stories and talk about, you know what they talk about, and all of that stuff, and that's what you're going to do. Do you hear me? Yeah, I mean it. Oh, no, you're going to do it. Now, you sit there, and you talk. I don't have to do that. You know why? Because they're friends. I don't understand this thing where we've got to put a gun to Christians' heads to get them to read the Bible. I understand we put a gun to Christians' head to get them to pray. Listen, folks, you know what? They say, well, Brother Jerry, where do you go and sequester yourself away? And you know, I had a guy ask me one time, and I hate this question. I hate when I go somewhere and there's youth pastors, and one of them will come up, or sometimes we'll have a question and answer time, and they'll say, well, Brother Jerry, could I ask you, you know, can I ask you about your Bible reading and prayer life and how much time you spend doing? And I just look at them like, I hate this question. I hate it. We've got such a stopwatch mentality. How much time do you spend praying? I don't know. How much time do you spend talking to your wife yesterday? Come on, I want to know exactly how much time you spent talking to your wife yesterday. Are you getting this? I don't know. We talk a while, and then I do some things, and then I need something, so we talk a while, and then I do some things, and I feel like the Lord's trying to teach you something, so I stop and listen for a while, and then I do some things. I don't know. I don't know. How much time did you spend talking to your daughter, talking to your son, or talking to your coworker? I don't know. You know what? It's not a matter of how many chapters or how many minutes with a prayer list, and I'm not against those things. I think it's a great way to open a conversation, but it ought to last all day long. Are you getting this? A friend will make you sharper. The more time you spend with Jesus, the sharper you're going to be. The more time you spend with Jesus, the better that you're going to be. Let me give you one more great, great principle, and this is going to take us back to where we began in John chapter number 15. A friendship principle. Let's go back to our, we'll end where we started. How about that? John chapter 15. Let me give you a friendship principle. How do I know if I have a true friend? Well, John chapter 15 verse 13 says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Does Jesus pass this friendship principle? Absolutely. There's very few people in this room. And there might be one. I may not know a story. But I seriously doubt that there's anyone. There may be one person in this room that would stand and say, Brother Jerry, I'd like to tell a story of a friend that I used to have. I no longer have him here on this earth. But you know why I don't have him? I don't have him because he gave his life for mine. You know, the honest truth is, there are stories like that out there. Talk to some of these World War II veterans. Are you listening to me? If you can find a World War I veteran, talk to him. Talk to some Korean War veterans. Talk to some Vietnam. I mean, you know what? Those stories are out there. I mean, read the book that I have in my office that I love. Read the book on the history and the biographies of every single man that ever won the Congressional Medal of Honor. You know what you'll find? There have been throughout the ages men who were willing to die to save a friend. But I'm going to tell you this. Nobody has a story quite like Christ. The song says he left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill called Golgotha, and there he laid down his life for me. If that isn't love, the oceans are dry. You know, does he pass the test here? Are you kidding here? Jesus Christ is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? Jesus came down and he gave his life on an old rugged cross. He died for you. He died to prove how much he loved you. He died to show you that he is your BBF. He's the best friend you'll ever find, the best friend you'll ever have. Are you getting that? Story, another story, and I'll finish with this that Mrs. Evans taught us. And she had a little picture book that she taught this story to us, but she told the story of two Chinese brothers who happened to be twins. And she told this story how one of them had got under the influence of a missionary and had received Jesus Christ as his Savior. The other young man went just the opposite direction. As much as his Christian brother tried to bring him to Christ, he not only rejected that, he got involved with bad influences and bad company. His life began to spiral down into drugs and into crime. And one day, as his Christian brother was at home in the house, his twin brother come busting in the door with a terrified look on his face, blood all over his hands, blood all over his shirt, blood all over his pants.
The Christian brother began to ask, "What did you do? What did you do?" His brother ripped off his clothes, ripped off his shirt, his pants, grabbed a different change of clothes, went to the bathroom, wiped off what blood he could, and then ran out the back door. It wasn't but a few minutes later that Christian Chinese young man heard the sirens coming towards the house. He went over that bloody pile of clothes. He took off his own clothes and set them on the bed. He put that bloody shirt on. Are you listening to me? He put that bloody pair of pants on. He took the blood and began to rub it on his hands. And when the police came, they took him and arrested him for the murder that his twin brother committed. By the way, at that time in China, there was no such thing as due process of law. They found him. They saw what they thought was enough evidence to convict him, and they immediately took him and executed him. Within hours, he was dead. This criminal brother, this unsaved brother, heard the story. It finally filtered to where he was hiding. Heard the story. He went to the authorities. He wept and admitted his crime and told them, "Listen, that was the wrong man. You killed my brother. He was a Christian. He would never have done that. He was innocent." And the Chinese magistrate looked at that guilty man and said, "That case is closed. That crime is solved and it's been paid for. You can go." You know where I learned that? Children's church. No wonder I got saved when I was a little boy. Let me tell you something. Jesus looked down from heaven, and you know what? There wasn't one spot, one blemish on our perfect Savior. But he was willing to come down, be born into this sinful world, live a perfect life. And when he went to the cross, you know what he did? He said, "Go ahead, Father, put every black mark, put every sin of every person that ever has lived, is living, and ever will live, just put them right on top of me and give me the full punishment for everything that everybody's ever done." And you know what? So horrible was that punishment that God reached down from heaven and turned the lights completely off. In the middle of the afternoon, there was 3 hours of intense darkness, and out of the darkness we hear Jesus Christ screaming the torments of all eternities, of all hell. I don't know how God compacted it in that time, but he did it. No wonder at the end of that time we hear Christ yell, "I thirst," just like that rich man yelled for a drop of water from hell. "I thirst." No wonder we hear him holler from the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Listen, he took my sins, he took your sins, and he said, "I'll take them. And you know what? I'll take the punishment for them." And you know what? He was so much God that even though he died that day, 3 days later, he burst out of that tomb and he arose from the dead, victorious. Hey, the crime's been paid for. The case is closed. You can go free. You can go free. You know what? Jesus Christ passes this friend principle. He proves that he's the greatest friend that mankind has ever had. You know why? Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Many in this room, maybe most of the people in this room, there was a time in your life when you heard the story of the gospel, understood that Jesus was a substitute for you. You understood that even though you were a sinner and you deserved to go to hell, that Jesus paid for your sins, suffered your punishment, and he offers you forgiveness. He offers you eternal life. And you know what? If you've never taken God up on this, I would suggest that you do it today. Are you young men listening to me? Are you getting this up here? Listen, if you're not saved, you need to take this serious today. Jesus did that for you. He did that for you. And he loves you. And he wants to save you. And he wants to save you today. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being our friend. Jesus, thank you that as a 5, 6, 7-year-old boy, somebody that loved children took a little group of us to the back and taught us a simple truth, but maybe one of the most powerful truths that I've ever learned in my Christian life, and that's this: your best friend ought to be Jesus. Your best friend ought to be Jesus. I would ask God that you do something sweet in our lives today. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Let me just ask you this, because it's so important. I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call your name. But if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me." You talk about being saved. You tell about how Jesus paid for my sins. I'm looking back in my life and I can't remember a time where I was serious about it, where I really came to God and said, "I understand, Jesus, what you did for me. And I understand who I am and what I am. I'm just an old lost sinner. And I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of this life. And Jesus, if you'll save me, if you want me, I want the gift of eternal life." Asking for forgiveness with a heart of repentance, turning to Christ. If you've never done that, you ought to do that today. You ought to do that today. You know why? You'll never find a better friend in all the world than in Jesus Christ. "Preacher, if I died right now, I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not. I just don't know. I don't know. But God is speaking to my heart. God is speaking to my heart this morning about that. And I'm concerned about it. Hey, preacher, just would you pray for me? And I'm not going to call your name. Would you pray for me, preacher? Just slip your hand up. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Just pray for me, preacher, and I will. Slip your hand up so that I can pray for you. Put it up high so I can see it. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it." Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Christians, listen to me. I hope you've done some evaluating of the people that you call friends. Are they? Are they really? I'll tell you one thing. If you were honest, there's somebody that we looked at today that surely passed the test. If I could get every Christian to make the decision that from this day forward, I'm going to strive in every way to make Jesus the very, 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 very best friend I have, you'd be surprised how many things would fall in place in your Christian life. You'd be surprised how many things that you're doing that you'd really no longer want to do. You'd be surprised how easy it would be to give up things that maybe you've struggled with. And by the way, you'd be surprised at what a joy that relationship brings in your life. "Preacher, I am saved. I am saved. But I needed to hear that message this morning." Would you raise your hand? "I'm saved, but I needed to hear that message this morning." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you come to us, it seems like, with what we need day by day, week by week. Jesus, thank you for the friendship that I've enjoyed with you, that I was introduced to as a child. Lord, you've been a thousand million times the friend to me that I ever have been to you. I want to be a friend to you. I want to reciprocate that which you give so freely to me. Lord, I want to love you at all times. I want to be sharper. I want, Lord, to be willing to lay down my life for somebody else, ransom my life, give my life if that's what it takes to help somebody else. You did that for me. I want to die to self. I want to lose my will in yours. I want to live in such a way that pleases you. Lord, thank you, even though I have not always done all of these things faithfully, thank you that you have never faltered one time in being a true friend to me. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as Christians grow, and I know we've got folks in here everywhere from having just been saved all the way to people that have been saved for 50 years. But I pray, Lord, that every one of us would honestly evaluate our friendship with you and help us, Lord, to determine in our hearts that we're going to be the kind of friend back to you that you've always been to us. Use this message in our hearts. We pray these things in Christ's name.